Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances. We're talking about working money doesn't suck, and so we don't get sued. This is for entertainment purposes only.
And for more entertainment, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances, all one word. Follow our individual accounts at the Marcus Garrett with one T on Twitter, two T's everywhere else. And Rich is available at I am Rich Jones.
I am.
And don't forget to join our email list by visiting paychecksandbalances.com/email, where you'll receive our weekly newsletter covering actionable work and money tips and much more.
And today's episode is sponsored by LinkedIn Learning. Get a free 30-day trial of their extensive course library by visiting linkedin.com/paychecks, all lowercase.
And we're announcing the winner this week. If you haven't checked it out, The First Time I Fell in Love with Debt, I made a video and two-part blog, which you can find at paychecksandbalances.com/debt-free. And the chosen one for the $100 gift card giveaway is... at Star Quinn, S Star Quinn, if you'd like to follow her, well, and I'll get that in the show notes. Congratulations, and I'll reach out to you professionally in the DMs for that $100 gift card and get that out to you for the holidays.
All people had to do was RT to have a chance. That's all they had to do.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2018 with something. But yeah, appreciate y'all who participated, and you can always find us with the hashtag PayBal, PayBal.
Indeed. And in other news, we were featured and or mentioned in a couple articles this past week. In the first, we were interviewed for a piece on NBCNews.com about millennials making money moves. That was pretty dope, so definitely check that out. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. And in the other, we were part of a list of top podcasts to help women get their money right in 2018. Shout out to XLNicole.com for the mention. And interestingly enough, we were the only guys in the list, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm always flattered to be on any list, and I'm glad we made it.
Yeah. I was like, wait, are we the only? And I was going through the shows, and I was like, well, let me not assume by the name. And then I was like, wait, we are, like, we're the only guys. Okay.
I'll take it.
And so for this week's episode, we've got This Week in Work. And this is the segment of the show where we help you crack the professional code and discuss stories and topics relevant to the workplace. And on today's show, we're going to talk about things you can do in 2018 to help you get both your work and money game up. And if you have a career question, email us at info@paychecksandbalances.com. It feels like it's been a little while since we had this segment, but I could be wrong.
I think it's been a sec. A few folks, and I have not forgot, we got one in the queue that reached out to the Ask PB, which is also available on the homepage. But yeah, we'll be getting that Q&A. I feel like people will be circling back when those New Year resolutions kick in.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually how it works. So in January, there'll be a bunch of questions, people trying to figure stuff out. And we've got some things planned for the 2018. Not going to say anything yet, but of course, be on the lookout. And so for some of the items we're going to talk about, it might be common sense, might be things you're already doing, in which case, think of it as a reminder. And if not, it's new to you, and some of it may seem like it's a little bit more advanced. Maybe you can't do it this year. I realized as I was putting this list together, I was like, I probably should have talked about this like a month ago, but life happens, things happen. But hopefully we'll get a good dialogue going back and forth on this one. And of course, if you have questions, again, info@paychecksandbalances.com. So number one, if eligible for a performance bonus and you're able to do it, send that directly to your 401k so you can have less taken out of your paycheck over the course of a year. And this is something I don't do this, but I work with a number of people who do this, where I was talking about the performance bonus and how I was going to use that. And I've had multiple people be like, oh yeah, I don't even get my bonus because I just send that right to my 401k to help me max out the contribution sooner. And I did the beard stroke where I was like, I have not thought about that before. And so depending on where you are, you know, if you're making a good chunk of cash and your bonus is sizable and that covers your max contribution for the year, fantastic. If not, maybe it sets you up so you don't have to contribute as much throughout the year. Or if you do contribute the max amount for your 401k throughout the year from your paycheck, that caps and closes out sooner. And then you spend a portion of the year getting that full amount, which is what happened to one person I talked to, where they were like, yeah, I put my bonus in, I contributed the max. And then when July came around, my paycheck went up and I was like, yay, that was just money coming to me for the rest of the year that I didn't feel like I was sacrificing. How they chose to use that extra money, I do not know, but this is an idea for people to keep in mind. Now, is this something you do or something you've heard of people doing?
I've heard of people doing it. I don't do a max contribution, but generally speaking, we don't do bonuses. Every now and then we'll have a merit. So we either have a one-time merit or we might have an annual merit increase. I worked for organizations that might have a cost of living adjustment. And for those of you that are curious, you know, what is the max contribution for both 15, 16, and 17? It's pretty much been unchanged. It's about 18,000 per year or 1500 a month.
Yeah. And recently, I feel like I saw a number of articles about changes to the 401k, and I don't think it's taken place in 2018, but I thought you were going to like be like, oh yeah, bruh, just so you know, that limit has gone down to 14,200.
Well, actually, it was always scheduled to go up. I believe it's going to 18,500 next year. What was taking place was there's a lot of discussions that, as far as I know, the original tax plan was looking at whether they were going to cut 401k plans. But it's my understanding, neither the Senate or House bill, both of which have passed but need to be voted on again, do not include cuts to 401ks. Now, hey, yo, this episode comes out 2018 and all of our 401ks are gone. Keep in mind that I, on the day of this podcast, while I was recording, that was not the case.
Yeah, I knew it was something. That sounds about right. More to come. If things change after the release of this episode, that's not on us, bruh. And we said this is for entertainment purposes only, so we're good.
And we'll be impacted as well, so we'll be crying on the episode, probably yelling. I know I will, so stay tuned.
Number two on the list, distribute your direct deposit across multiple accounts. I was struggling with saying that earlier. And this is something that sounds super basic, but there was a point in time where I didn't do this, where I just let all my money go into one account. And not the best thing, because I would just let it all go in there. I'd spend it. I'd see it as extra cash. I'd buy food. I'd buy other things that did not accrue in value. But yeah, it just might be something that a lot of us do. And if you don't, it's an easy way to kind of set up a system, even a basic system for how you allocate your funds. So I have one for rent. I have one for monthly expenses, and then I have one on my direct deposit that goes to savings. Now, I have more bank accounts than this that I've set up on the back end, but as far as the max number of accounts that I can set up through my job, I can have it distributed through three different accounts. So definitely encourage you to do that if you're not doing that already. One thing that worked out for me when I moved recently, I got a 1 month credit on rent, and I kept sending the same amount of money into this rent bank account. So I'm actually at a point now where I'm a little bit ahead a month of rent, and I can auto pay my rent every month, which is something I never did before. I don't know why. Maybe I just liked writing checks, and that was the one old school thing that I did, or I probably had some money worries about overdrawing from an account. But if you're not doing that, I encourage you to have your money go to multiple places, as opposed to having it go to one account and then trying to route it yourself manually. Because I mean, so there might be people who are good at that, bro, but when it comes to doing stuff manually, the likelihood of me failing is very high.
Yeah, I don't think most people are, if they were honest with themselves. I'm definitely a huge advocate for automation. I did have one question. Do you have separate literal banking entities, or are you doing this all through one bank entity? Well, I don't want to name drop. So is there like, because I'm not sure if my bank allows for this. Mind you, I've never looked into it. So what I do is I automate my IRA diversification. So 9% is pulled out by my employer. Another 9% goes to my IRA. I have currently 1% moved to my 401k. And so for folks who are like wondering, you know, how do you start out? That was originally at 4%. With Christmas and the holidays coming up and some other things I wanted to accomplish, I took it down to 1%, and then I'm going to push it back up to 4% at the beginning of the year. So I have a total of 22% making, as I've talked about before, with like an 80-20 budget, which is why it's good to know what your budget allocations are, making positive moves with my money. And then, as I've talked about in another show, all of my bills are paid on the second. And I consider myself a pretty financially savvy, responsible guy. I've been doing this for 10 years, yada, yada, yada. But I still don't trust myself to have money sitting there for 31 days. Even if the bill's due on the 15th, I paid on the second, because I'll come up with some reason to spend it. I mean, given 15, or in that case, 14 extra days, I'll just come up with a, and at the time, it'll seem like a really good reason. It's the same response I give when people say, why did you take that shot yesterday? And it's always, it seemed like a good idea at the time. So it's always
too soon, bro. way too soon, man.
Yeah, it's always going to seem like a good idea at the time. But I did want to let the people know that, you know, you can start at 1%. That, I mean, That's more 1% than zero. Some employers might have a minimum, but it's usually like 3%. And usually if they have a minimum, they'll match. So you'll put in 3% and they'll put in 3%. So you're getting the benefit of 6%. Do you have any accounts that you would recommend, or do you just have different entities set up?
I mean, I just have different bank accounts set up, you know, so I have an account with Bank of America, an account, sad to say it, with Wells Fargo. I should probably do something about that, but I've been too lazy to move it. And then I also have an Ally bank account, and I actually have multiple accounts at Ally, multiple accounts at Wells Fargo, and then one account at Bank of America. And some of that is just legacy stuff, accounts that I set up a while ago and I haven't switched them over or moved the funds to another bank. I've had a good experience with Ally. I like the whole no fee at ATMs thing. It's been pretty reliable. And Ally generally seems to try to be pretty like hip and millennial-esque. I've noticed that in some of their messaging. While Wells Fargo feels like that ex who's like trying to make a comeback and is showing up with flowers and try to fix things. And Bank of America is just there with all the fees and so on. But as far as like my checking account, I haven't had any issues there. The credit card account, I mean, the balance is at zero, so I haven't had any issues. But though they stay trying to get me to sign up for these new specials, and I'm just like, nah, I'm good. You see my account is at zero. Why are you trying to offer me more, bro?
You know, it's interesting you say that. And I didn't even put it together because I pretty much ignore these advertisements now. But I literally had two credit card increases this month. And I didn't put together that it was the holidays. So I have two cards with zero balances and both went up like $4,000. Like, you know how they send you the notice of like, hey, you don't have to do anything. We increased it for you. And I'm like, yeah, like you're doing me a favor. All right. Throw it in the trash. But that being said, I do want to give a shout out because she's probably still listening to the show. She probably pulled out the keyboard. But listener shout out, episode 25. I'll get this in the show notes, where we had a listener spotlight where Katisha actually Dr. PhD Katisha, I don't want to be dismissive here, actually had talked about how she set up various accounts to help with her plan. So I'll get that in the show notes for the people who couldn't listen to that episode. So it can be done. And I know, as you said, there are some entities, and I actually think Ally one of them, where they make it easier for you to, what we've kind of called, automate the envelope system, where instead of literally having envelopes like Dave Ramsey recommends, and I don't have anything against, you use automated envelopes where you set up various savings, checking, or goal-oriented accounts, and that's where you deposit your funds and money. She had, if I recall correctly, 8 set up. So it can be done. As I think we talk about thematically, you just need a plan.
Basically, I feel like she's probably in double digits by now since that episode was so long ago. We'll probably have to follow up with her on that. Or if you're listening, hit us up and let us know.
And one of the articles she sent in for us, if you do not believe us, and this will be in the notes, is how 14 accounts saved our budget. So, hey, yo, I don't think there's a limit to the accounts that you can have. You just need to find the entities that will support them. And when in doubt, I am still going to advocate for. I had in 2016 through 2017, and I don't see me stopping in 2018, is your local credit union. I'm a big fan of credit unions now. I have a car loan with my local credit union. They beat my loan offer at the dealership by like 2%. Saved me thousands of dollars before I ever walked off the lot. So I'm a big fan of credit unions now.
Smart man. Very, very smart man. So number three, if working, have a serious conversation with your manager about what you need to do to get to the next level in 2018. And typically when you get to the next level, that usually comes with a pay increase. So increasing your paychecks, use that money to help decrease your balances, whatever else it is you want to do. And this is super relevant if you were surprised during your performance review or you're looking back like, what is this life? And I've talked to people they've already had their performance review conversation for this year. They weren't happy with how it went, or they were surprised by the feedback that they got, which should never happen. By the time you get to your performance review, you should already know what's coming. Well, you know what? If you have a good manager, you should already know what's coming. And that said, you shouldn't leave your future to your manager. So you got to be deliberate about what you want, and not only knowing what's necessary to get there, but actually doing the work and keeping track throughout the year. And I've heard people be like, yo, my boss sucks. And I'm like, yo, my boss sucks isn't an excuse to slack in your development. That's something you got to own yourself.
Oh, definitely not. Now, I appreciate you saying that. And I was actually having a recent conversation with somebody about this, and here's how I look at it. So I think there are benefits to having, and you should, a one-on-one conversation with your administrative manager or your direct boss or whomever you directly report to. However, I also recognize sometimes, and, you know, the studies support that, the limits that might be available to you through the person you just happen to be assigned to at your job or employer. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't limit your network to that availability, which is why we talk about coaches and sponsors. And so there is some benefit to actually, and I recommend you do meet with your administrative manager. But if you're not getting the professional or personal development you need from that individual, I think it falls back on you in a perfect circle on, okay, whom in my network or where do I need to go to get the personal and professional development I need? And as Rich, I think, is saying, that might be you. You might have to be the leader in your life until you can find that person to kind of shed the light for you. But yeah, I definitely don't agree with the, well, my boss sucks there, so therefore I'm going to just start sucking too. Like, that's doesn't make any sense. And I don't feel like that'll get you to the goals that you have for yourself. One thing that I started doing, I actually started doing this a few years ago. I can't even remember why. I can't remember if it was because I promoted to manager or for tracking for myself, but it was just getting too difficult for me to track what was going on throughout the year. I actually use an Excel spreadsheet and I track ongoing projects, estimated due dates, the target date, the actual completion date, which actually is a column I just recently added, and just a little description of what it is. And it has a few benefits. I send it to my boss, whether he asks for it or not. But it's actually more important for me because I can track both as a benefit to me personally and professionally what I'm doing and what is a priority throughout the year. Oh, that's the other column I have in there, high, low, or medium priority.
Yeah, and we talked about that on a previous episode, and I was hoping you would keep talking so I could pull it up, but that's a fail. So so we'll see if we can grab a link for that to add to the show notes. I want to say it was probably in the last 10 episodes where we talked about that, and I think I mentioned that I've used Trello as kind of my in-work project management tool to keep track of everything that I've done, everything that I've completed on a month-to-month basis. And I usually put some additional details in there about the project and the impact that it had overall. One, for the performance review conversations, but then also if I need to update my resume later on, I have things that I can pull from directly.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here is, in an ideal world, it's your boss's job to track it. But I think in the real world, you need to be doing it for yourself. And I think there's a two-part benefit is, you know, I now have this documented, like, evidence. What I have accomplished for the last 12 months, or if necessary, every quarter, every month, it doesn't really matter. I can pull up. It's not, well, I think I did, or I seem to recall, or if you allow me to go back and find my email. Nope. I just pull up this one centralized document. As Rich mentioned, it could be Trello, it could be Excel. But I think there actually, no, I know there needs to be something. And I think it falls on you to be the initial tracker of that information. Now, a lot of jobs I've been at, and I don't know if you relate to this as well, we have to fill out a self-evaluation. Yep. It's also very helpful in helping me complete my self-evaluation as I build up for my annual performance evaluation.
There we go. Yeah. So I'm definitely with that. And I know there were things that I pulled in for this year that I think helped my case in terms of what I'll get for a merit increase and also what I'll get in terms of a bonus at the day gig. Number four on the list, pick up new skills. Again, something that might sound super intuitive, but a lot of people, and I've had stretches where I've been in my job, I'm like, I'm tired of doing this S, and I wanted to do something else, but I wasn't really doing anything to further develop myself to get there. And more specifically, things within like that current gig. So maybe there were things that I could do within the current job that I wasn't doing, or I knew that I could do. But outside of that, if I wanted to do something different, there wasn't an action that I was taking to really help me get there. And so this could mean taking courses. And so there's a lot of platforms out there, like Teachable, Udemy, I think that's how you pronounce it, and LinkedIn Learning. And there's also certificate programs that may not break the bank depending on your financial situation. So I know that there was a course that you took a while back.
Yeah, I actually took one in 2016 through General Assembly. It was a data analytics course, and it was actually recommended by a listener because I was considering going back to graduate school. So theoretically, and I'm going to put an asterisk here in just case this individual tries to sue me for 10%, but this person saved me $46,000 out of pocket because I was looking at a graduate program that would have been $50,000. I was going through the application process because it was a really traditional mindset that I had. I'm like, well, I want to learn more about, in this case, data analytics. I thought I wanted to do it for a career. And he was like, well, he works in IT. And he's like, well, we usually send our people through, which again goes back to the importance of networking. We send our IT folks through this, you know, 10-week boot camp, a lot of boot camp courses now. This was just a certification course. And then we go from there to see if they want additional training to go through graduate school. So I took this 10-week program. It was about $4,000. Two additional benefits that came from that is I actually found out, didn't know it existed before I went through the class, that my company supports out-of-work training up to a certain cost threshold if it builds towards your job. So a lot of people, we've talked about this before, where they have the websites through their job where they don't even know where they can get discounts.
Right.
Some other companies, and I happen to be one, they support certifications and programs or a semester back at school up to a certain cost. I looked into it. Turns out I qualified. Turns out this course qualified. I went through some hurdles on getting the business entity qualified, but that was a separate issue. So the only out-of-pocket cost in the end was the computer that I bought in order to go and like basically attending the class. So saved $40,000 just by asking around. I basically did not pay for graduate school because I took the certification program. It was complimentary at my job. Another thing that I think is intangible and unspoken is people see you doing that as well. So they're like, why are you doing it? I'm like, oh, I was just interested. And they're like, wow, you just went and got a certification and improved yourself because you were interested in a new skill set. I'm like, yeah, it's just, I was going to do it anyway. I was just grateful that my company supported it. And people take note of that. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that ties to the other thing I was going to say, where if not for your current job, courses come in handy during interviews for future jobs. So for example, someone may ask, tell me one thing you've done to develop yourself. And a lot of times people struggle with that question. It's like, well, you know, I've been working hard this year to improve in my role. And it's like, yeah, but what have you done? And so taking courses, it speaks to taking initiative and having a drive to do better, which is something that every manager wants. And also, I've mentioned courses that I've taken in the past in terms of my current role, or courses that I've taken that related to stuff outside where I've picked up skills. So maybe it was around web development or like marketing or personal branding or something like that. And I've mentioned that stuff at the day gig. And, you know, I've been shocked at the response, like, wait, you did what? Like, tell me more. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm an expert on this thing because it is one course that I took. Like, okay, I'll roll with it. If it's going to make me look better when it comes performance review season or when they're looking for someone to promote, they can be like, yeah, he has experience with XYZ, which is also going to create the opportunity to potentially get involved with projects that you may not have been involved with otherwise, which, of course, following the thread of this conversation, looks good during performance review season, opportunity to make more money. And if not in the current gig, things that you can discuss when you're interviewing for a new job that's hopefully going to bring you that at least 10 to 15% increase. Unless, of course, you're making a career change, in which case it might be a little bit different. Since we're talking about moves to make in 2018, how about taking an online course through LinkedIn Learning, featuring content from lynda.com, who's been in the game for 20 years. The great thing about the online courses from LinkedIn Learning is you can complete them from anywhere, anytime, and at your own pace. You also have the choice to watch, listen, or read along from the transcripts till your heart's content. And to make sure you learn what you were supposed to, there are project files and quizzes to keep you sharp. Don't feel like wading through courses to find hashtag the one? LinkedIn Learning has you covered. You'll find course recommendations tailored specifically to you so you can get started and keep going with your professional and financial goals. Glow up in 2018 with a plethora of new skills at your fingertips. Get on it! For a free 30-day trial of LinkedIn Learning, visit linkedin.com/paychecks. Again, that's linkedin.com/paychecks, all lowercase. Now back to the show.
Yeah, and I think another thing to keep in mind, and I wasn't thinking about this when I started my career, is actually a conversation, fortunately, I had with my manager, is what are the certifications, if they exist, in your field that'll help you stand out? So I'm a certified internal auditor, but the only reason I got the certification is because I was talking to my manager, and he's like, yeah, being a CIA, you can pretty much write your career path. And I was like, oh, I should get that. He wasn't saying you should go out and get it. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting to me. I want to write my career path. So I went out and started looking and researching what does it take to get this certification. And then by extension, I ended up getting, which is now four, but I ended up getting two more before I left that job. And again, they didn't pay for the test, but I think they reimbursed for the, let me rephrase that. They didn't pay for the classes, but they reimbursed for the test if you pass. So a lot of times, I guess what I'm trying to say here is these resources are available to you, but you have to have those conversations with either your HR department or maybe even someone in higher management Because another way I've seen it is, even if it doesn't exist, I know I've talked to friends where like they don't have a formal reimbursement program, but they told their employer, I'm thinking about getting my graduate degree and I want to work here for the next 2 years. What can we work out? And they'll either, well, you can go and you can have Fridays off, or what if you, we help you work a flex schedule? Or sometimes I've even said, hey, we'll pay for that if you agree to sign this contract that says that you will be here 2 years after that. Because, you know, your employer wants to reasonably get something out of the investment they put in you as well. Mm-hmm. But I would think in that circumstance, that's very worth it. It's kind of a, I'll say, a lost art now, where employer will pay for graduate school, let alone even beyond that or below that. But to never have the conversation, you have everything to gain and honestly nothing to lose. The worst they can say is no,
basically.
And another one I was going to mention that I hear a lot when you said project management is a PMP. We talk about that now. We don't even require a PMP, but it is something that stands out when we're viewing a an applicant. So PMP, I had to look it up, was project management professional. But it's just one of those certifications that is fairly universal, fairly standard, and is respected across a wide swath of professional or career opportunities. And I feel like a lot of people are like, well, I'll get my bachelor's degree and that's that. And it's something that a mentor actually shared to me, which, not to be a hypocrite, I need to find a new mentor. I don't actively have a mentor right now. I was interviewing a couple, and one of the quotes that stood out for me from one of those discussions was, professional development isn't something that happened to you. It is something that is always happening to you. Mm. So don't look at it like, he said, I don't hire people that learn for 4 years. I hire people that learn for 40 years. Yeah. And you want to be that individual that stands out from the crowd and be someone who's willing to learn over 40 years, not just because you got that bachelor's degree. Now you can, you're done.
Yeah. So I heard you say that you were interviewing potential mentors. So you must have really come up, man, where you got, so like you're basically taking mentor resumes like, so tell me about yourself. How can you help me elevate my career?
Actually, no, but I'm glad you asked. So this is how I went. I, as many of you know, but new listeners do not, I went through an executive leadership program and actually reached out to this individual recently. And then he reached back out to me and he's like, you know, I feel that you have some innate talents where you know, I had to do a presentation. He saw me speak in front of the group. I had to lead a couple other courses as it went through this executive leadership program. And he pulled me to the side one day and he's like, yo, I really feel like there's something special about you. And I've talked about this before, where people often see in you what you fail to see in yourself first. Mm. And that's happened to me before, but it hadn't happened recently. And I didn't think much of it, but he happened to be very involved in the community. And after the leadership program wrapped up, he reached out to me. He was like, hey, I'd like you to go talk to these two other individuals. I think they would be good for you to know. So that's how it happened. I reached out to them and he goes, I think these two might be good mentors for you. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a discussion with one, which that's actually where the quote came from. It was a great discussion, but I think we both agreed between conflicting schedules. And I think part of the mentor or the best mentor or protege or mentee, and I've heard all mentee, whatever, there's all kinds of names for them. But yeah, it honestly doesn't matter. You want someone who can help you. Let me put it this way. I was talking to a financial planner the other day, and he says his ultimate goal when he was in that role, he's in a new job now, is to make people want what I know they need. And you want a mentor to identify what you don't know you need. Someone who's more senior in their career, someone who's a little bit further ahead. You just want someone who's thinking, because they've been through those trials and tribulations you haven't had the chance to experience yet. That's really all a mentorship is. And I won't kind of rabbit hole too much here, but there's other relationships you can have for like coaching and sponsoring, and someone in your network or your professional career that can not only mentor you to develop, but they can say, and I can put you in this job in 6 months.
Actually, it just occurred to me that if you have the right mentor relationship, like that could lead to a pay increase. And it doesn't have to mean that the person's like hooking you up with a gig, but just them setting you on the right track and getting you clear about what you want and helping you think through how to get there, that could make what might take 3 years happen in like 18 months instead.
Yeah, definitely. This is going to sound cliche, but you don't know what you don't know. And right. Sometimes I've had conversations with people and I'm actually frustrated that I didn't think of, because it's very simple. They'll say something like, you need to go back to your desk and send an email to this address. And I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? I've and sitting at my desk, you know, as we were playing on Twitter. But you sometimes you just need someone to literally articulate it that smoothly. And it's not that they're some savant. It's usually they've been through it before. And they had someone, fortunately, in their life who sat back and said, you need to do this. And so, you know, try to pay it forward. I'll put this in the show notes. I was luckily over here scrolling while I was talking to that conversation. It's six types of personal advisory board members that you need. And it talks about a personal guide, a personal advisor, number two, number three, full service mentor, which is, I think, what we're talking about here, a career advisor, a career guide, and a role model. And those are all six different unique, although maybe be some overlap. This is actually a Venn diagram, but that might be six different individuals.
Right.
You're the person who gives you personal advice might not be the individual that can help you with your career. So I'll get that in the show notes as well.
Cool. I'm going to try to fly through this last one here because I know we've talked about it some before. Cleaning up your LinkedIn profile. And so I saw a thread on Facebook. I think it was in a group about LinkedIn being useless. And, you know, it took me everything to not hit them with the hashtag, well, actually, and talk about the value of it, because I wouldn't be where I am today without LinkedIn. And it wasn't that I was on there firing off in-mail messages. It's just I had my profile up to date. It was clear what I wanted to do. The experience that was on my resume matched what was there. And a recruiter hit me up from my current company. And like, without that, like, I don't know that I would have applied for a job there. Probably not. And I might still be on the East Coast. And my thing is, tools are useless if you don't use them properly. And so if you're on LinkedIn and you're like, this sucks, but your profile's not updated, you're not engaging in any conversations, you're not really posting anything. It's the same people who's like, you know, Facebook sucks. No one interacts with me. And it's like, well, the only thing that you've posted is that you're hungry or like you eating food. And actually, people eating food does get likes. People like pictures of food. But I'm sure there's other examples where it's like, you know, people aren't really interacting, or you're on Twitter and it's like no one's responding, but all you're doing is just like sending out tweets. You're not actually interacting with anyone. So if you're not using the tool properly, then yeah, you're not going to see the benefit. And a couple of quick things I'd say as far as LinkedIn, we talked about this before, the headline, don't go with what instantly shows up unless it's like super boss. So if you're like VP of operations at insert reputable company, okay, that may work as your LinkedIn headline. But if you're earlier in your career and let's say you want to work in marketing, but you're currently in HR and it says HR generalist at, you know, smaller company, like, okay, that might be great if you're looking for another HR type of job. But if you're looking at doing something a little bit different, you're probably going to want to update that to be more specific to what it is that you want to do. And even if it is something that you're already doing, maybe your company uses a very specific job title, but there's a more general job title that you could use to draw that out. So I think I talked about a while ago how there was a job where my title was talent associate. And I'm like, most companies aren't looking for a talent associate. They're looking for an HR generalist or they're looking for a recruiter. And so in my LinkedIn profile, I had HR generalist and recruiter at. And so, but if you are someone that's trying to go from maybe HR to marketing, and I don't have a good example of someone who's done this, maybe you say HR professional with a love for marketing. Just add something so that it's a little more obvious why you're interested in that role, given so many recruiters or managers will see a resume and then go cross-reference it on LinkedIn. But also just with the way recruiters search and the way that we search, when we put those terms in, a lot of times the search results are going to pull from what's in the headline. And it's also going to pull from the job titles that you have throughout your resume, or excuse me, throughout your LinkedIn profile. So you want to make sure those reflect maybe the more general term for what you do so that you'll get more hits from recruiters if that's something that you're interested in. Or if you're thinking about making a change, maybe you want to make those titles more general in a way where maybe it speaks to what you want to do and it's not a complete fabrication. So using my talent associate example, I was primarily an HR generalist. I wasn't like out there doing hardcore recruiting. It was pretty much like inbound stuff comes in, I set up interviews, etc. But the bulk of my job was doing all of that other HR stuff. But I was like, yo, I want to get back into recruiting and I have had recruiting responsibilities. So I'm going to say HR generalist and recruiter. And I think that was helpful for me getting the job before this one. And that was ultimately helpful for me being able to get the job that I'm in today, which came with a pay increase and all of that other good stuff.
And let me ask you this. Is it sort of like a, this is a recommendation that I got, and I actually already did it, so I hope it's good. But someone at, told me, and I've seen this a little bit, like if you have a PhD, I have a CIA, maybe like I talked about with the PMP example, and they put it right there in their headline. So when you pull up their LinkedIn profile, it literally says, it would say Marcus Garrett, comma, CIA. I've seen it where it says, I won't drop name drop, so it'll be not John Smith, PhD. What are your thoughts on literally changing? I think that's your header, not necessarily headline.
I think that's the headline. It's what shows up at the top of your profile. And I see that. It really depends, man, because if a company is looking for a project manager and they're like, we need someone PMP certified, they're probably going to search project manager and PMP or project management professional. So that can help. I think, I don't know, when I see profiles with like a bunch of like certifications afterwards, and it might be because I work in tech, like that doesn't say as much to me as kind of like what they're doing and what their interest is. And so for some people that may work. So maybe you are a PhD and there are certain types of jobs that are only looking for PhDs. I feel like you should say something in addition to that. So maybe you say, you know, Marcus Garrett, PhD. I almost said something else. And then, you know, you say auditing professional or audit manager or whatever it is that you want to say after that. I wouldn't just leave it like name, certifications, and nothing else.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I asked about the business card, because I've had lots, and I don't even know if I've had a decision on this, but I've had lots of conversations around how many certifications you should have on your business card. I stop at 3. I could put more, but it's like, I think you get it. I'm like, read the resume. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, I've seen people where their business card, it's almost like their business card needs to fold out into a small pamphlet with all their certifications. And I'm like, yo, just put your master's on there. I have debates around if you need to put your MBA on there, but I don't want to shade the MBAs.
Yo, that's not, you know what? And I was thinking of that earlier. I was like, do I say MBA? Cause there's a lot of MBAs out there. And I like, to me, like John Smith, MBA, I'm like, okay, like, that doesn't really tell me much. There's a lot of people with MBAs. There's recruiters with MBAs. There's software engineers with MBAs. There's doctors with MBAs. Like an MBA tells me nothing about what it is that you do or what it is that you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the whole business card thing, like if it's like MBA, PhD, PMP, PHR, it's kind of like, all right. So at some point, especially if those certifications or initials or acronyms are completely different things, it can make you look a little scatterbrained. You know, it's like, all right, so like, what are you really trying to do? And when I see someone and it looks like they're stretching themselves thin, I assume that they're probably not really an expert in anything because they have their hands in so many different places. Pause.
As a jackass of all trades and a master of none, as I've been calling them recently. I'm probably gonna get fired for eventually saying that, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna hold it against you. Put a little disclaimer after that.
Fortunately, I don't plan to fire myself from this show, so I'll have this as my fallback. But I think, you know, like, let's get a takeaway from that, you know, our closing thoughts. I don't think it's wrong as long as it's not a list and it is informative related to the position you're hiring for.
Agreed.
Consensus? All right, cool.
Agreed. So anything else on this one?
That's all I got.
Cool. So that's it for the list. And there may be things that come up for a future episode. And again, if you have questions or thoughts on this show, you can hit us up at info@paychecksandbalances.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode or found it useful, be sure to share and hit us up with those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. As we always say, the more people we reach, the more people we help. And so someone checks out the show, they see the reviews, they're like, you know what, this is worth listening to. They learn something, they tell someone, we reach people, we help people, we hit our goal. And also, shout out to our top tier PMB patron, Stephanie S, Chisholm O, I really hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Michael M, we appreciate you. And again, all of those folks who have been top tier patrons or non-top tier patrons for all of the support throughout 2017. It's really helped us get some stuff done. And we look forward to what's coming in the new year. So we might have one more episode after this, but we'll see. We'll see.
And as an added bonus, you can have or listen to us read your 5-star review where we happily butcher your name from week to week and try to figure out what they stand for. Because as I was getting ready to read this 5-star review, I feel like this means something that I am not hip enough to understand. So it's like you ever see a license plate going down the road and it's like you're trying to like sound out the acronym and figure out what it could mean. And then it pulls away before you could solve it. Like I feel like that's what's happened with the 5-star review. So it's two,
like some Words with Friends type stuff.
Yeah, I saw one the other day. It was now hold on. I got to paint the picture. What's that electric car that everyone loves Tesla? Now? Yeah, it was a Tesla and it said 4RMMAEAR.
I'm going to spend way too much time in silence trying to figure this out.
It was for Mother Earth. Like, I stared at that. Like, I've stalked this car. I was like, 4MAER. What could it mean? I'm like, I'm Googling. I'm like, yo, I'm about to drive off the road, Texas to drive. Anyway, for Mother Earth. So shout out to the Tesla somewhere in Texas, the for Mother Earth. Yeah, hopefully this will get back to you on the podcast. Someone probably favorite it, retweet it, do it viral or something like that. But back to the 5-star review. This one is 2... GALOOQT.
I'm gonna take a shot at this.
Go ahead.
No.
You want to solve? You want to solve?
Toogaloo. Toogaloo QT.
Yeah. All right. 5 stars. First time listener.
I still don't know what it means, but I'm like, I feel like that's how it's meant to be pronounced.
Yeah. When I saw the QT, I'm like, okay, cutie. Like the other day.
Toogaloo QT.
Huh. Yeah, there was another one where it was an angle, tea, a picture of tea, and a picture of pie.
And that was...
It was a cute...
Was that cutie? A cutie pie?
A cutie pie.
Yo, come on, man. People making this way too difficult.
Amazing. 5 stars. First time. This could be you, folks. Write in at any time. First time listener, recent doctoral. Thank you. And congratulations. And the STEM graduate who is working on building much needed personal development and acknowledgement of wealth building. I'm only 15 minutes and I've been tremendously been informed and engaged. Thank you. ! Used correctly.
Appreciate that 5-star review, Toogaloo Cutie. Yes. I feel like I said it the way I meant to say it the first time. That's progress in life. Yeah. Closing out 2017 strong.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks to everyone for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.